You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. The program is Hospice Vision, and I'm so glad you joined us because we've got a very interesting subject. I have in front of here a fatty liver disease, and I've got somebody here who knows a lot about that, and he's going to join us, and that Dr. Stefan Skubon. Stefan, welcome. It's great to have you with us in the studio.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Stefan, what is this fatty liver disease? It sounds like fat on the liver, they have these little skulpijkies, as they say in Afrikaans.
Yes, yes.
What is fatty liver disease?
Well, fatty liver disease can be genetically and also lifestyle associated. So mostly lifestyle associated. And the first thing is we've got to distinguish between two different kinds of fatty liver. The one is an alcoholic fatty liver, basically caused by the overuse of alcohol and the abuse of alcohol.
Is that liver cirrhosis?
The end of it is liver cirrhosis. Hmm. Okay, that's how it starts. It starts with a fatty liver and then goes into the liver cirrhosis. And then the other one is a non-alcoholic fatty liver. We call it NAFL. And so the main thing with fatty liver is that the liver needs to convert fat into glucose. But if it's saturated with fat or fat saturated with toxins, it starts losing function and it should start losing speed. So we're talking first of a sluggish liver, and it is sluggish in converting fat into glucose. So the thing is, fat then starts accumulating in the liver, and also fat cells start growing in the liver. So we've got fat cells between the liver cells that's loaded with fat. And then we also get then fat around the organ, and then also fat distribute internally around the other organs. So the function of the liver is more than 500 functions that we have during the day, biochemical processes that take place in the liver. So very important organ. You can't live without the liver. But interesting thing about the liver is it's the only organ that can regenerate itself. I had a patient where his father had liver cirrhosis, and they couldn't get a transplant for him. And so he said now he's going to give his liver to his father. And so they removed about 3/4 of his liver and 3/4 of his father's liver and left the healthier part and attached this part to it. And it completely attached to his father's liver, and he started growing back a new liver within a year's time. And today, both of them healthy persons. Mm. So, yes, the liver is an amazing organ, but we've got to look after the liver, and lifestyle plays a very important role there. So if we look at the genetic component behind it, there's a gene called the fatty liver gene. It is called the PEMT gene. And this gene is responsible for the coding or the blueprint of the production of choline. So choline is a building block protein that we get in eggs. But you've got to eat a lot of eggs to get enough of the choline. Therefore, the body produces choline by itself. And a genetic problem with the PMT gene leaves you then with about a 25% ability to produce choline. So what does this choline do? The choline regulates the bile flow through the liver, and bile breaks down the fat. So if you have a problem with your regulation of your bile, then you will sit with too much fat in the liver, and that forms the fatty liver. Lifestyle-wise, if you eat a lot of fat and you don't have good fat genes, that means that how the body utilizes the fat and turn it into energy so that we can burn it. And if you don't have good genes there, but you've got bad storage genes, it means that you're going to rather store the fat than burn it. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the problem with the obese people. So do fatty liver lead to obesity? Yes, it does. And so therefore, diet plays a very important role. If you don't have good saturated fat genes, don't go on the Banting diet and eat a lot of saturated fat. That's animal fat, because your liver can't deal with it. But usually those people will tell you, I'm feeling bilious after a lot of fat. And also my stomach starts running, diarrhea, or with a lot of fat. So I prefer not to eat a lot of fat. So that's usually the first warning that your body doesn't cope well with saturated fat. What about the good fats? Well, the good fats, like the polyunsaturated, monounsaturated fats, like your avocado fat, nut oils, things like that, usually the body can convert that easily into workable fat for the body, energy, lots of health advantages. But some people don't have good saturated fat genes, and then that can lead to weight gain, even then the fatty liver. So if you don't look after the fatty liver and do something about it, it can then turn into liver cirrhosis. As we said, the liver becomes hard and dysfunctional.
Does it mean fatty liver, does it mean that the liver is blocked and it's not doing its filtration job?
Well, the fat infiltrate the liver. So the fat cells are between the liver cells, and then they make it difficult for the liver to do its job properly. The other thing is the gallbladder acts like a reservoir of bile. So we produce bile when we eat our food. Then we also produce bile just as we produce digestive enzymes in the pancreas. And the role of the bile is to digest the fat for us in the small intestines. And so the liver duct that goes from the liver into the small intestines enter the small intestine at exactly the same place where the pancreas duct enter the small intestine. So what does it tell us? It tells us that the liver and the pancreas work together. So when we eat, we start producing these digestive enzymes that digest proteins and carbohydrates from the pancreas, the juices from the pancreas, and then the bile digests the fat. And there we digest the proteins, the fat, and the sugar further on through the gut. So people that suffer with indigestion, it also means that this fatty liver makes it difficult for me to digest the fat. Don't eat the masses of saturated fat. At the same time, start using choline as a supplement, because you don't produce enough choline. So once we start regulating the bile breaks down the fat, and on a lower saturated fat diet, you will start breaking down the fat in the liver and dump it in the gut. Mm-hmm. And 60% plus of the people with this genetic problem will end up having their gallbladders removed, because it starts forming gallstones then, and we lose the function of the gallbladder, which is just a regulator.
Mm.
So without the gallbladder, you also got to watch your fat intake, because on a high-fat diet, you're going to overproduce on bile, and the regulation is gone. So you are going to feel bilious.
Mm. Now, just a question from my side. What role does diabetes play in this situation? Because I know that diabetes, high sugar levels, cause damage to your liver as well.
Yes, for sure. So, yes, we see fatty liver very often in diabetes patients, and especially uncontrolled diabetes. So people that don't take their medication regularly, or they don't test and they don't have the right levels of insulin, then that excess glucose is going to be converted into fat, because where is that energy going to go? And that's why they also start gaining weight, because it converts into fat, and the fat then being stored in the fat cells, and there we start gaining the weight. So I usually start with the liver first. If people sit in front of me and you can clearly see from blood tests, elevated ALT, AST, And a gamma GT levels in your liver function test is an indicator of a fatty liver. Obviously, higher cholesterol levels do. So that means that we've got to do something about your diet, lifestyle, and the dietitian can also help you with the right diet. But it's good to take a choline supplement, and the choline then helps to regulate the bowel flow through the liver and start breaking it down. We use a product called Fatty Liver. I mean, it's for the fatty liver.
Sounds but logical.
It contains a high dosage of choline. And can't I just eat eggs? But what about the yolk and the cholesterol and the fat again? So, no, we can't just eat eggs to get enough choline.
So, that's quite a mouthful, but thanks. That was very insightful as well. Just a reminder to our listeners, you're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and the program is Hospi Vision. And as usual, it's time for our devotion. And I'd like to share with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. I think most of us have heard that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. It sounds a little weird in worldly and perhaps even in medical terms, but the Bible tells us this is how it is. If the Holy Spirit were not in you and me, how would we instantly know when we are doing the wrong thing and moving outside of God's will? Each one of us has this thing we call our conscience. We feel guilty when you do something that you really should not have done. Then we also have this gut feeling, and we know that what is happening is not right. You know something is wrong. How do I know when something is wrong? I don't know. I just get this gut feeling. Sometimes you're in a situation and you just know that if you do something now, it will work. You just seem to know what you must do to do the right thing. These examples are also examples of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. Gut feeling is very often the work of the Holy Spirit in you because He is in you. The same applies to our everyday life when we eat. You just get that feeling that what you are eating is a good thing, or what you are not supposed to be eating because it's not good for you. Again, here your conscience is warning you and instructing you about what you should and what you should not do. Health problems in many cases, the result of doing things that you shouldn't be doing. That statement is valid for your spiritual and emotional health too. It's not just food that is problematic. It's also your thoughts, emotions, and what you are feeding on. Feeding on things like hatred and unforgiveness causes problems both physically and spiritually. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, so we need to look after that body even more than we look after our other possessions. It's strange how we go and buy a car and we service it and we maintain it carefully, fixing every little problem, because then we get good service from it and it continues to look good. But we don't always apply the same principle to our bodies. I have this standing joke that when a meal is really good and there's some really special treats on the table, I always say, I can resist anything except temptation. That may be funny, but there's also a tragic element of truth in it. We don't resist temptation, and then we destroy our bodies, our health. Let us begin to focus on what is good and healthy, thinking on the good things as we read in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's pray together. Lord, we confess that so often we are the cause of all our own problems. Please give us wisdom and courage to change our ways and care for this temple of the Holy Spirit. For we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to invite you to sit back, enjoy the music that I'm going to play for you, and I'm going to play Power in Your Name by Neville D. and Lindy Delport.